Hey everybody, this is Robertson of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution with another edition of the Southern Fried Soccer Podcast. And on Saturday, Atlanta United will go to Chicago to play the Fire at beautiful Soldier Field. We're going to preview that MLS match by hearing from Jay Fortune, Luis Abram, Yergur Shakarmakis, and manager Gonzalo Pineda. I'm going to answer a few of your questions too about the MLS team. This isn't going to be a long podcast, so if you're planning on listening to it on a long commute, you might want to listen to me and then plug in some Avett Brothers or Jason Isbell or the Mountain Goats or whatever your favorite tunage might be. When we come back, we're going to get into the audio. If this is your first time listening to us, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so that you never miss an episode. You can always follow me on Twitter at DougRobertsonAJC. This is Southern Fried Soccer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
So we're back with the audio, and most of you know, if you follow the team, that Atlanta United was beaten 2-1 Cincinnati last week at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. 3 points dropped. It came on the heels of giving up a 2-goal lead against Philadelphia to end in a 2-2 draw, 2 more points dropped. So that's 5 out of a possible 6 from home matches, which is not good when you want to finish at least top 4 in the MLS East. And is, you don't want to use the word trend, but I'm going to use the word trend, an issue that goes back to last year, to the year before, to 2 years before, of the team just not being mentally strong, unequivocally concentrated for 90 minutes in matches. They give up silly goals that result in drop points. One individual mistake led to the first Cincinnati goal, and then a combination of mistakes led to the second goal. But you want to say it's a one-off, but when it just keeps happening in many, many matches, and if you want to go back to the earlier matches this season when Atlanta United was getting wins, Brad Guzan was bailing the team out with some phenomenal saves. Guzan is having a heck of a year for Atlanta United. So that is going to be the theme in a lot of these clips that you're going to hear, us talking to the players. We spoke with Luis Abram, center back, and Jay Fortune, midfielder, on Tuesday. Thursday, we got Yergur Shakarmakis and Gonzalo Pineda. So let's start with Abram on the mistakes in the last two games.
We have to know how to manage the moments of the game, to manage the situations that we're in and be more intelligent.
How do you do that? How do you know more about how to manage the games? Is it experience? Is it training?
Yeah, watch on video what went wrong. Try to correct the mistakes so that they don't happen again, and just correct them for the next game.
Is there a frustration right now with the two recent games?
I don't know if it's frustration, but it hurts because we lost 5 points at home. But I don't view it as frustration.
Okay. I like Luis. I think he gives good answers. They're short answers, but they're good information. He doesn't like really talking to the media a whole lot, so we don't get him too frequently. He, of course, moved into the starting lineup with Derek Williams, suffered his calf injury. Williams has missed the past two games, will definitely miss this week's game, and I got to think he's probably going to miss the next game just because of the timeline. He is doing some individual training, but he's not with the team yet. So we'll see. Steen Gregersen did some modified training with the team yet. I've put him in my projected starting lineup, but I don't think he's going to end up starting the more I think about it. But here's Jay Fortune, who came on as a sub against Cincinnati, talking about the mistakes in the last two games.
Individual mistakes are going to happen, and I think the biggest thing is when they do, what the reaction of the team is to try and help recover the ball. And, you know, we always look back at what the video is, and we talk about it, and we know. You know, when we train the warm-up, it's always technical work. It's always tactical stuff and whatnot. So it's just being focused in that. But the biggest thing is we know mistakes are going to happen, and just as a team, how do we react to try and fix it?
What have you personally learned from the past two games?
No game is done until it's done. After 94 minutes, 95 minutes, wherever the case is, we have to be focused the entire time, because when you play the likes of Philadelphia and Cincinnati, they're big teams in the league, and they're comfortable being behind, they're comfortable being tied, they're comfortable being ahead, and we have to be focused for 90 minutes, because if we're not, as we saw the last two games, leads can disappear just like that.
And here's Jay talking about attitude by the team and the players in film study.
It's early in the year, and you know, we got to fix things, and it's not the end of the world, because like I said, it's 8 games in, but we know if we want to be where we want to be at the end of the year, that we have to try and minimize those mistakes. So we, as a team, as a collective, we all looked at it, we talked, we spoke about what went wrong, and we know that if we want to later on down the line be successful, we have to fix it, and you have to do that sometimes as a team, and that's what we did today.
Now, before we get into your ghosts, I want to remind y'all of two things that happened this week. The first was the team traded Derek Etienne to Toronto in exchange for some GAM. I don't know if you saw my story. It posted late last night. It was updated with some quotes from Carlos Bocanegra. After last season, when Etienne didn't play very much, the two sides talked about if they could find a good trade, a good place for Derek, they would try to move him. Nothing really happened until the very last day of the trade window. It was a quick discussion, quick decision, quick move. Derek was actually supposed to play for the twos last night. He was training with the twos to play with them when the trade went through. It's just a weird thing for Derek that it did not work out here. When he signed as a free agent on November 30th, I think, 2022, everyone thought on paper, this is a great signing. He's coming off a career year in goal, career years in assists, has the speed to get behind defenses, good passer, good guy in the locker room. But that speed never really materialized with Atlanta United. He never looked like he was going to be capable of getting behind defenses. And then he missed preseason because of an injury. He missed the next preseason because of an injury. So he could never really get into a rhythm with tactics and with his teammates and everything. Still, good guy in the locker room, but it was time for him to try to find a new home where he can get some playing time, and that's what everybody wants. Now, today, we talked with Yorgos Giakoumakis. The last time we spoke with him as a preview interview, I had asked him about if he thought, with the addition of all the experienced players in the winter window, if the team might be better mentally, if it would have the fortitude for 90 minutes. And his answer then was, let's see. Well, after the past two matches, I wanted to follow up with Yorgos and asked if he had made up his mind.
Well, of course, the last two games, we dropped 5 points. We could win both of the games. So we're leading the score, and this, of course, is unacceptable to manage a game like that. If you want to end up at least at the top four and have the advantage on playoffs, you cannot lose this kind of games at home. So, yeah, it wasn't really positive. We reflect on ourselves, and we discussed about that a lot with the manager, without the manager. To be honest, we had lack of players right now with all these injuries, and I think it's kind of a period that it's a weird situation, and we're a bit unlucky. We're missing many players that they were also key players in the team. But that's not an excuse. We should win the last two games no matter what. And for me, we have to start over again in Chicago. Start with a win again and get back to the positive path again on the league.
Now, you heard in that answer him talking about the players have talked about it amongst themselves. Players like to keep things in the locker room. So I preface my question with that, saying, I know you want to keep it in the locker room, but can you give us a 30,000-foot view of the discussion?
One simple thing I can tell you is like that we have to stay concentrated, and we have to think like champions, because you cannot drop this amount of points in your home when you're leading the score. That's impossible to make a champion at the end of the year if you cannot manage a game when you're leading the score at your home.
Here's manager Gonzalo Pineda providing some updates on player injuries.
Didn't see Jande out there today.
Yeah, he's out for the game. So yeah.
Did he suffer a reoccurrence of the injury?
It's more that he was stretching in one action. Probably you remember one action blocking across from DeAndre, and he felt some discomfort. So we're gonna be conscious with that. And he's out for this game. We'll see you next week.
Here's Pineda on addressing the mistakes made by the team.
I think we needed firm in certain messages that we need to address with the players. I understand the difficulties at playing football. I was a footballer for many years, so I understand how difficult it is to be in those environments and do all the right things at the right time. And, you know, you have to respect opponents, you have to respect the game, and how difficult it is to be a footballer in general. So I'm not that big. I don't put that amount of criticism on them. Because I understand the difficulties. But at the same time, when we have certain principles or certain things that have to be done, and when you lose 5 points out of six at home, of course you have to send a message. And I think it was the right one. It was more on the film the other day, that right after the game, I'm trying to be less emotional after the game, so my speeches are a bit shorter after the match. And when we do the film review, that's where we address certain things. And I was maybe a bit more than normal, but I think the whole coaching staff tries to be very clear in the demands of the team. We want to have clarity in most of the actions, whether we're attacking or defending. There is clarity on what we try to do, and then we just put that demands on the players. So. Yeah, I can understand, but I think it was needed. When you lose 5 points out of six, you need to address a few things.
Now, the other piece of news, I alluded to the first one with Derek Etienne. The second was the addition of Javier Perez as director of methodology, overseeing the player development in Atlanta United 2 and the five academy teams. I think it's five, unless I've forgotten one. I was fortunate enough to sit down with him today, and you'll see a story posting, I think, tomorrow afternoon when I get it done. It'll be in the Sunday paper. That's the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Really interesting guy. Really interesting guy. He basically wrote the curriculum for U.S. soccer on player development. So a lot of these players that you're seeing going in Europe and the success that the U.S. is having with player profiles and player development, partially, you know, a small portion of that credit should be given to Javier. Really interesting guy, and really enjoyed our conversation, and I hope you enjoy the story. When we come back, we're going to get to a very short mailbag. This is Southern Fried Soccer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
I'm Ernie Suggs.
And I'm Ned Ravone. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution has a special offer for our Southern Fried Soccer listeners, and the deal is as easy as a penalty kick. For a limited time, pay $1.25 a week, and you can get the paper. That's ajc.com/BSP. That's ajc.com/BSP. The deal is only for new subscribers. Now, we didn't get any questions this week. All these questions that I got were about the last game, so we're going to go back into that for a little bit. To be blunt, a little disappointed we didn't get any new questions. I put out a couple of calls. But y'all have done really, really good in the past, so no worries this time. Here's Ashley saying, I gave my tickets for the Cincinnati game to my brother-in-law to take my youngest nephew to his first Atlanta United game. That's a very generous thing, Ashley. Is it bad that I sent my sister a text saying my nephew is not allowed to attend any more games? He says, I blame the loss on a 7-year-old. I think that's a perfectly reasonable response, Ashley. I probably would have done the same. No. In all seriousness, we both know that isn't the reason, but I thought it was a funny email and an interesting take by Ashley, and I always appreciate a little levity. So thank you for that, Ashley. On to Harry. who says Gonzalo Pineda seems like a very nice man. However, as a regular Atlanta United supporter who suffered through the previous two horrible coaching hires, I must ask, why is a major club with such a sparkling start and solid fan base employing an on-the-job head coach? You're saying Frank DeBoer was a horrible coaching hire? U.S. Open Cup, Campeones Cup, was a save penalty away from getting back to hosting the MLS Cup? I'm going to disagree with you on that one. Gabriel Heinze was a horrible hire. But Harry continues, Cincinnati looked to be the better coached team Saturday in Atlanta. These last two matches at home have been gut-wrenching and are testing the loyalty of fan support. I don't have the statistics on hand, but I know for a soccer fact that whichever team scores first usually wins the match. I also know whenever a team has a 2-0 lead, a victory is usually almost always assured. Sadly, Atlanta has found a way to defy the odds twice recently and not in a good way. Time for a coaching change? No, not time for a coaching change. If you think that Gonzalo Pineda coached Thiago Almada to kick the ball to the Cincinnati player on a corner kick, I don't know what to tell you, my friend. If you think he told Luis Abram to step into space he didn't need to step into and leave Ronald Hernandez starting as a two-man center-back pairing for the first time, or not even starting, coming off the bench for the first time ever to do that, and for Brooks Lynn to lose track of Luciano Costa, that's not what they coach and teach. It's individual mistakes by the players, and Pineda can try, and the coaching staff can try and try everything possible to drill these and work on the situations. But if the players lose their minds for a half a second in a game, that's on the players, man. It's not on the coaches. If there were some sort of fundamental error in the tactical setup, or they were getting bulldozed 5-0 or 4-0, I would be among those saying that front office may want to consider a coaching change. It's not my job to call for a coaching change. That would be a columnist job, and I'm not a columnist. But let's see what happens in Chicago. I mean, you know, Pineda went through a rough stretch last year, and I had to ask him if he was afraid that his job was on the line. If another bad result happens against Chicago, I'll probably have to ask the same question. But I don't think it's time for that yet. And then we go on to Sean, who says, at what point do we have to question the manager? You can question him whenever you want to. I get we have injuries, and these have been really good teams they're playing, but I feel like we don't talk enough about the manager. Plus, your article on Pineda saying he doesn't know what more he can do is disappointing. I don't know why it's disappointing. As I just said, I don't know what more he can do either. Unless you want to start benching guys who make individual mistakes, but the problem with that is then you get players who are totally afraid to make mistakes, and then they start playing too safe, and then you also have no chance to win. Again, if the team were getting steamrolled, getting bulldozed, getting just hammered, not creating chances, I would get it. But it just comes down to the silly little individual errors that the coaches can't train these out of the guys. They just it's not a game where you can have the starts and stops in play where you can go over individual mistakes with like a quarterback or a wide receiver or a second baseman or a point guard like that. That's not how soccer flows. So it's hard to correct those individual mistakes within a game. You can come back to them and the player can say, yep, I recognize what I did. And the coach said, okay, we're going to train this week on if we're in this situation again, what is the correct thing to do? And then you can get right back in that situation. The player can make the same mistake. There's only so much that the coach can do. And statistically, it's been proven there's only so much impact coaches can have on players once the game starts. All right, that's going to wrap up this mailbag. I said it was going to be a short one. It's a reminder to tell your friends about our show, and please give us a rating and a review on Spotify and Apple. That's what helps us grow the podcast. Hug your loved ones, embrace your loved ones. Try to be nice to people, especially those who might be down on their luck. If you see them out and about when you're walking around or cycling around, if you got a spare water bottle or a granola bar or something, just give it to them. It'll make you feel good. It'll make their life a little bit better. And that's kind of what we're on this planet for. Thanks for listening to Southern Fried Soccer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.